Well, it's a delight to introduce our next presenter, Dr. Bi-Hung Chang. She is a colleague, and she'll be talking about some work that we have done together. She's currently at the University of Massachusetts, but she has worked with the VA healthcare system, Boston University School of Public Health, and at the Benson Henry Institute at doing statistical work. The study she'll describe today is looking at people who are living with HIV and effects of an acupuncture relaxation response intervention, looking at synergies and mechanisms for promoting quality of life. B.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you for Beth for the introduction. I actually didn't turn in my show in bio because I know she's going to be the moderator. She knows me well, so. So I think you all heard about relaxation response. Anybody have not heard about it? Or who heard about it? Okay, great. So this is kind of different from mindfulness people have been talking about a lot nowadays. And I just want to give a little bit brief history of relaxation response. I don't know, you all know this mind-body research, meditation research actually started many, many years ago. As I know, at least 40 years ago. And anybody heard about Herbert Benson? Okay, yeah, okay, good. Actually, not that many people. And that is interesting because, as I understand, he's still now at Harvard and MGH. And he always talk about how he started to do research in mind-body medicine. And it's a group of TM meditators approach him and then say, why don't you study us? And that time he always say, oh, at Harvard, you want me to study meditation? No way. And so anyway, he said he always have to just hiding them and then go into the lab. And he was able to find, they did the research and found that when they start doing meditation, the blood pressure goes down and heartbeat goes down. And so he just called this opposite to, so all this physiological response is opposite to stress response, because you all know when we're under stress, your heartbeat goes up, you stop, blood pressure goes up. So he called this relaxation response to counter stress response. And actually it's meditation, but that time you just cannot use that word. But nowadays, everything is meditation. So just give you some history about that. So, and why I study acupuncture relaxation response, and one day Beth has a talk at Harvard Medical School about her study, A Pathway to Wellness, and she can tell you more about the story of Pathway, but it's the acupuncture clinic and for HIV patients. So I went to her and said, can I visit your clinic? And then so here's we started collaborating, and because I'm from Taiwan and I had some issue about I have Bell's palsy after my son was a year after I gave birth, and someone told me to do acupuncture, and I did, and I found it really relaxing and similar to when I do meditation. So I say, how come? So I say, maybe we just combine the two and see whether it will have more enhanced effects. And so this is how I start, how we work together. And we actually was fortunate to have an NIH-funded grant to do this. And this is our second study. And so what I'm going to present today is about the mechanism. We already published paper about our main finding is using to compare acupuncture, relaxation, and individually or together, whether it can treat GI symptoms of HIV patients who are under antiretroviral therapy, because at that time there are a lot of side effects and they are related GI symptoms. And so here we also have a component about, we try to find out what's the mechanism can explain the positive effect of this two modality. So that's a lot of background information already. So for this particular one, as I say, We are looking for the mechanism, and we chose to use oxygen consumption because previously there are already studies showing that when people do relaxation response practice, so relaxation response is not a technique, it's a response of your body after you practice all different kind of technique, and that can elicit this response. So one of the mechanism people find is VO2 might be the mechanism. Means that once you do all this technique practice, the oxygen consumption reduced. And then the other piece of background information is that acupuncture has been shown to improve quality of life of patients who are living with HIV/AIDS, and that including our own study and someone else's study. So we want to see that whether acupuncture and relaxation response elicitation, either both individually and in combination, whether they have effects on reducing VO2, the oxygen consumption. And we also want to see whether this reduction is correlated with the quality of life. So the study we have is a double-blind randomized control trial, and you all know about it's hard to blind study participant and also the acupuncturist about what kind of therapy they're giving or patient are receiving. And we call this double-blinded for one thing because the design is this. When patients are receiving acupuncture treatment, because remember I will show you the design in a bit. So we are giving them a relaxation response too. So we let them wear earbud, so very small thing in the ear, and to listen to CD. That time we still use CD, not all this high-tech stuff nowadays. So one is about relaxation response eliciting technique, and the other group is listening to health education. And so because the acupuncturist doesn't know what kind of contents they're listening to, so that's how we blind the relaxation response component. And of course people can argue that acupuncture, yeah, sure, that I have to acknowledge that's one of the limitations, that we cannot blind the acupuncture treatment patients are taking. So again, we are studying HIV patients who are on antiretroviral regimen. So here's the study design. So it's a 2x2. We think this is a pretty nice design to be able to tease out is a relaxation response or health, or is a acupuncture or is the combination. So the I already explained about health education is control for relaxation response, and we actually have a different topic each session. The innovative part of this study is about the shunt acupuncture. So the way we do it, so acupuncture, the true acupuncture is Beth can tell you more about it. It's a very specific point which is good for GI symptom, but the shunt acupuncture is in not only that we chose the point that has nothing to do with GI symptom treatment, also we didn't use needle, so it's use electrode pad and on the point. And furthermore, it's connected to a dysfunctional electric unit. So we told patient the way we are doing study, we are comparing two different kind of technique for acupuncture. So that's how we blind them. And for relaxation response elicitation, we give them six different techniques. And so if some practitioner here, educator, they probably know that actually all kinds of techniques can elicit a relaxation response. So including breathing, or you just mental repeated a word, or like mantra, or you choose something you like, and also hypnosis or progressive muscle relaxations. imagery. So we give them all this. They are all guided. And then we also let them practice at home. And actually, in one of our study, we asked participants what kind of technique you like, and we can see the variation. People like different things. So that is very important to know. So what we did is we have a total of 8 weeks, and the first 4 weeks we have twice per week, because then, you know, acupuncture treatment, you need to have more in the beginning, and then it's once per week for the following 4 weeks. And here's what we measure VO2, the oxygen consumption, at the first session and the last session. And what we did is we have 5 minutes resting period. And then there's a 20 minutes that they listen to where they're receiving acupuncture treatment, either shunt acupuncture or real acupuncture, and then listen to the CD. And we collect a total of 25 minutes of oxygen consumption. That was a pretty big intake. And also, this machine is very expensive. So this is a very big part of the study. And so we do the quality of life measurement, and it's by this standardized scale called functional assessment of HIV infection, and they have 5 components, subscale. And we did it again, the pre-intervention and post. And here, Beth mentioned that I'm actually a trained biostatistician, so I know how to do statistical analysis. And here, because you remember, we have a 5 minutes resting period and then 20 minutes listening. So I use a step regression and to see that what it is. It's that at 5 minutes point, I fit another model. So you will see the graphic later on. And because, and then I take that regression, the slope, because the regression slope is estimated, so you cannot treat it as the observation, so you need to weight it by the standard error. So here's what some of the example. So all this point, blue point, are the oxygen consumption measure. And you can see that you can jump up, I mean, everywhere, but for this is one example. It goes down pretty well. I mean, in the 5 minutes period, it's almost flat. But then during the listening CD or intervention period, there's a nice decreasing trend. And you can see that its slope is minus for that period of intervention period. And this is another patient with acupuncture and education, also has pretty nice decreasing trend during the intervention period. And then for the shunt acupuncture and relaxation one, this is just keep in mind, this is just one example I pick, so to have a good show of how this can, how the regression works. So you can see that this patient somehow that it did increase a little bit, but you can see the point jump a lot. So the standard error is quite big. So when you use this for analysis, you had to weigh this. I mean, not as much as the other two, because the standard error it's not a very precise estimate of the slope. And then this is the totally control group, the shunt and education group. You can see that both periods are pretty flat, and the standard error is also quite big. So this is just some example, because I can show you every single one of them. And so here is the average. So if we average it out, I'm almost done. So the four groups, you can see that the combination one has a pretty nice higher decreasing trend, I mean decreasing slope, and the SE is the shunt, and education has the almost flat with decreasing trend. And actually, this does not reach very high statistics. I mean, I think the P is like 0.05, 0.06 or something. I don't know whether I show the simple. Oh yeah, here it is. The simple size is quite small. So bear in mind that effect size is just not large enough and to have significance. But when I correlate that with the quality of life measure at the post, the last session of the intervention session and the post quality of life, you can see a nice positive, a nice correlation here. It's negative correlation because it means the more you decrease the VO2, the higher quality of life increase. So it only happened in the acupuncture plus relaxation group and also acupuncture plus education group. So this and only in some of the component the subscale of the quality of life emotion and for AE group also physical too. So I mean it kind of makes sense that why social quality of life doesn't make differences here. So this is a very easy, hopefully you remember this result easily, and so the conclusion is that maybe the decrease of oxygen consumption might be an underlying mechanism of intervention effect or acupuncture in our relaxation response. But why is it important? It turns out that oxygen consumption has some one of the study I did before, it found that that is correlated with nitric oxide. And nitric oxide actually is a blood vessel someone has a medical background can help to. So it has some implication to it, this is just you know all this mechanism study is still ongoing, but this is actually this one of the mechanism we found, and so yeah, also related to improved quality of life. And some strengths of our study, again, it's a double blind study, and we have pretty credible control, and then actually we asked patients, and then we found that both groups, they really think they are receiving real treatment, so that is pretty credible. And again, we do have some limitation. It's very small sample, and you know we have 5 subscale, and so we do have a lot of multiple comparison, and further larger study is definitely needed to confirm our finding. Thank you.